Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trebet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Everything in me will praise the Lord. We come to welcome the Holy Spirit to rule and reign on this line tonight. So call a friend, text a friend, email a friend, because God have a word for you, you and you. So get ready to hear a word from the Lord.
Good evening. The scripture will be coming from Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elisha, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." May the Lord ever bless you. The use of the word, and the word of the Lord is blessed. God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, we come to magnify his name tonight. He's worthy to be praised. And without him, we are nothing. And we come to say thank you, Lord. We come to lift up our families to you tonight. We ask you to protect and keep them from seen and unseen danger, in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to have your way on this line tonight, Lord. Lift up our pastor, our prophet to you, Father. We ask you to have your way, cover and keep him from seen and unseen danger, in the mighty name of Jesus. We just say thank you, Lord, because this is the day you have made. We did rejoice. Now we thank you for keeping us, covering us as we sleep and slumber on tonight. Our prophetess and her entire family to you tonight, ask you to cover, keep them from seen and unseen danger. We say thank you. We're going to plead the blood, the healing blood, over this line tonight. We come with a humble heart and stretched out arms, Father. We ask you to have your way. We ask you to protect all our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, Father. We say thank you. We are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. We do all things through Christ to strengthen us. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Father. And Father God, we just come thanking you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. For who you are, Father God, glory, hallelujah. And Father God, we thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, for what you have done, Father God, in each of our lives, Father God. We thank you, God, for how you brought us through this day, Father God, glory, hallelujah,
yeah.
Preventing us from danger seen and unseen, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, glory, hallelujah. And Father God, hallelujah, we just thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, that your all-seeing eye watches over each and every one of us, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. You're sitting high, you're looking low, and you know everything that pertains to our lives, oh God, glory, hallelujah. So we just want to bless you, Father God, glory, hallelujah, for being our keeper, Father God, glory, hallelujah, for you are the keeper of lost causes, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Those things, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that are impossible with men, Father God, are possible with you, Father God. So we thank you, God, for you being the God of possibility and the able God, hallelujah. Oh, God, you are able to do all things but fail us, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. So, Father God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, that you would, oh, God, move by your spirit for each and every person under the sound of my voice, Father God, glory, hallelujah. I pray right now, oh, God, that you will pour back into Mother Granny all that she poured out, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, and you would just, oh, God, move by your spirit for, Father God, glory, hallelujah, everything she wants you to do, Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, that you make it happen for, Father God, glory to your name, Father God, I pray, oh, God, even for the reading of the scripture, Father God, that you would bless, oh, God, the reader of the scripture, oh, God, that you would bless, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, Dr. Rita Bryan and her family, Father God, and continue to watch over them and keep them, Father God, and that you would bless, oh, God, all her business endeavors, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, for you are worthy, Father God, and you are able to do it, Father God. Cover her family, I mean, cover her son, cover her grandchildren, Father God, and each and every family member, and Father God, bless our pastor, Father God, pour into him right now, strengthen him. Oh, God, glory, hallelujah. And, Father God, bless every one of his endeavors, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Glory to your name, Father God, hallelujah. Bless his food, his water, his coming and his going, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Bless everything his hands touch. Bless everywhere his feet tread, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And, Father God, I pray right now, oh, God, that you take him, oh, God, to higher heights and deeper depths and new dimensions and new, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you poured out fresh wisdom from on high upon him right now, oh, God, a fresh and new anointing, Father God, moved by your spirit for him, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, answer the prayers that he has up, oh, God, hallelujah, for so many and himself, Father God, and his family, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, and we just thank you for all the leaders on this line, Father God. Each and every one, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you're moving over the things that concern them, Father God. We thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, even for the heavens that are open upon us, Father God, because time period, Father God, that we're able to grab and, oh, God, hallelujah, we're able to assess everything, every promise, Father God. Nothing will be held back from the people in this time period, Father God, glory, hallelujah, as we seek you first, the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto us, Father God. So we just want to thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And, Father God, we pray for those that are even going through in their body, Father God, that you would give them a healing touch from you right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. We pray, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, that spirit of infirmity will rise up and run to the pit of hell right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. We just pray, and, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, hallelujah, that you ignite the hope of your people. You ignite the faith of your people, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. That, oh, God, that none, oh, God, shall give up and throw in the towel, oh, God, in the time period, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. But we all just keep pressing, oh, God. Hallelujah. Pressing into the things of you, Father God. Pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, oh, God. Strengthen your people, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, touch the minds of your people, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, peace. I speak peace over your people, Father God. Glory to your name, Father God. Hallelujah. Your peace that surpasses all manners of understanding, Father God. Glory to your name. Not the peace that the world calls peace, Father God. It's your peace that settles every situation and circumstance and happenstance, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we just want to thank you for all that you're doing, Father God, even opening up the road portals, oh, God, igniting businesses in this time period, Father God, downloading witty inventions unto your people, Father God. Glory to your name, Father God. Hallelujah. Being the saving grace for your people, Father God. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're our refuge, oh, God. We thank you that you're our mighty battle axe. We thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, that you are the strong tower and the righteous can run in and be safe in this hour, Father God. And we just want to thank you. We thank you for another, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, Monday night. Third Monday night forum, oh, God, glory, hallelujah. We thank you, God, that those that gather on the line, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that they will receive, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, hallelujah, and that, hallelujah, whatever is spoke about, whatever is talked about, Father God, glory, hallelujah, whatever is taught tonight, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that the people, oh God, would apply it to their lives, Father God, that somebody will experience a breakthrough, Father God, glory, hallelujah. Somebody will experience deliverance tonight, Father God, glory, hallelujah. Oh God, someone will experience inner healing on tonight, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. Now, Father God, hallelujah, I pray right now, oh God, glory, hallelujah, for spiritual growth amongst all your people, Father God, glory, hallelujah, spiritual maturity, Father God, glory, hallelujah, thrust us forth, Father God, into our destinies, Father God, glory, hallelujah, so that we may walk out that divine purpose that you have given for our lives, Father God, glory, hallelujah. So we just bless you, Father God, and we just thanking you for what you're doing right now, Father God, and we just thank you for the winds of change blowing over your people tonight, Father God, glory, hallelujah, situations is changing, Father God, circumstances are changing, Father God, and we thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, oh God, hallelujah, we just thank you, God, hallelujah, for all that you're doing and all that you've already done. We bless your holy name, Father God, and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries present
March Gladness.
Go big or don't go at all.
March 22nd through 24th. Live at Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, 231 East 146th Street in Harvey, Illinois. Under the direction of Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Senior Pastor.
This is going to be an epic event.
It kicks off Friday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. Get ready for Apostle Andre Taylor Sr. of A New Beginning Prayer and Outreach Ministry of Chicago. Saturday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. Get ready for Apostle Beverly London from God Cares For You Ministry of Chicago. Sunday, March 24th at 11 a.m. It's Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. from Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries of Harvey, Illinois. This is going to be one for the ages. March Gladness. Go big or don't go at all. For more information, please call 877-912-2027 or area code 708-825-1988 or log on to www.werestoreyou.org. March Gladness. March 22nd through 24th at Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry. Call and find out more information today, and we want to see you there. Join Prophet LaRon Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to LaRon Matthews on Facebook and LaRon Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
The new book is coming soon. The latest from Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The new book is coming soon. Written by Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D.
Get ready to have your spirit lifted and your soul rejuvenated.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. By Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. Stay tuned for the book release date and information on how to purchase your copy. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Dr. LaRon Matthews would like to personally invite you to join Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries and LaRon Matthews Ministries for their weekly services as follows. Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m., it's Facebook Live.
Find the broadcast on LaRon Matthews Facebook page.
11 a.m., in-person and virtual worship experience at 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., a powerful prophetic teaching in person and virtual.
Find this broadcast on the RFPIM Facebook page.
Dr. LaRon Matthews is also a licensed Christian counselor and life coach. If you desire counseling, please feel free to contact the office at 708-825-1988 or 877-912-2027 for rates and available times. To receive more about the ministry, you can visit the ministry website at www.werestoreyou.org.
That's www.werestoreyou.org.
God bless you.
The book is now available.
The book is now available.
The ultimate read. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. presents
Love,
The Unfinished Chapter, the brand new read by Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. It's available now. Love, The Unfinished Chapter. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. presents Love, The Unfinished Chapter with a very special foreword by the late great Bishop Rance Allen. Available now. You can purchase your book at WeRestoreYou.org.
That's WERESTORE, the letter U.org.
On Amazon.com, or you can call area code 708-825-1988.
Area code 708-825-1988.
For an autographed copy, order from WeRestoreYou.org. Order today. Get ready to enjoy the latest from Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. Love, The Unfinished Chapter. Order your copy today.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will win. Oh, you will win. Yes, you will. I know you're torn. I know you're broken, but
the question is, can you win? I came to tell somebody up in here tonight that there is something on the inside of you that's going to help you win in this season. And it's called a champion. You ought to open up your mouth and shout, I am a champion. Everything attached to you wins. I said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell them, everything attached to you wins. Come on, let's just tell them, everything attached to you wins. Now just tell them, say, it's your winning season.
It's your winning season.
You've got God to carry you. You've got God to carry you. That's what he's gonna do tonight. Cause you can't afford to lose again. You can't afford to lose again. Oh, it's your winning season. Last time, everything attached to me is what I need you to do, because I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your rope, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will win. You will win. God don't birth failures. God don't call you defeated. You are a winner.
God bless you, and top of the evening and top of the day to you, wherever you're listening in from around the world. I welcome you today to another prophetic experience teaching. I'm where the word of the Lord comes alive. I am Dr. Prophet, Apostle, Preacher, Lorraine Matthews, overseer of Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministry, and the city of Harvey, Illinois, and Restoration Destiny Center, city of San Antonio, Texas. And I bless those of you who are joining us on the blog talk side and those of you who are joining us on the conference side. We appreciate you all for connecting with us on today. And it's such a pleasure and honor to have you and you and you with us on this day. And I want to take this time to thank all of those prayer warriors and intercessors and kingdom leaders that join us all in time. And join us as we pray. Minister the word of God, prophesy word of knowledge, word of encouragement, to teach the word of God. We thank each and every one of you all for all that you do, your intercession on the conference line and ministering the word of God throughout the weeks as part of the team, the global team of the Lifeline Conference, which is June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. That's just 3 months away. And we're looking forward to seeing you for our Lifeline Conference, 14th year Lifeline Conference 2024. It will be epic. It is an experience. So we're looking to see many of our friends and colleagues there for the conference. But this week is going to be our Great March Gladness Conference, which begins on Friday night will be the kickoff of the March Gladness Conference at our local church, 231 East 146th Street in Harvey, Illinois. March Gladness Conference 2024. Friday night will be Apostle Andre Taylor. He'll be coming in and blessed with a word from the Lord. Then on Saturday night, Dr. Beverly London coming in and bless us with a word from the Lord. Now, if you all would be so kind to share those flyers and share the word, spread the word, if you would, for me, I would greatly appreciate you, those of you who would spread the word and let others know about it as well. We greatly appreciate that, advancing the kingdom of God and sharing the word of the Lord God. It is an honor and a pleasure when you do that for us. I certainly appreciate you for being able to do that. All right, I will talk about the vision of the prophetic conference line that was birthed out of the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2, verse number 1. 14 years ago, sitting on Shep Court, in the city of Montgomery, Alabama, sitting at the table of Rita Bryan. And we was all talking, Angela Ziegler at that time, sitting down at the table, preparing ourselves. And we and a couple of other people joined us in that pursuit. Gentleman by the name of Derek Duke, who was part of it, and a couple of other friends, Jackie Weatherly, and some of the other teams of that region joined us, and we prayed and put it before the Lord that we start this conference line, and it will be a success. And we did it, started off with a seventh-day fast. It ended up going, the fast ended up going a little longer. And then the conference line from that time on, we had continuously, Monday through Sunday, the conference line was going on every single day of the week, Monday through Sunday, 5 a.m., we will have the conference line, and we had different individuals join us. It started slow, but it ended great, and so many people joined us. And then we had to execute a plan to put people in position because the conference line started expanding and growing, and people's lives were being touched by the prophetic word. And then we added a Monday night, and then a noonday, and then we added midnight to it. And it was just an ongoing thing. It actually started off as everybody had a shift. We would go from 5 a.m. in the morning to literally 8 o'clock at night on it. Many people were coming in from other parts of the United States, joining us from around the world. So we had an epic time in that. So that's where the conference line was birthed from over 14 years ago. Then we included other leaders and men and women of God that was introduced. Then other conference line was birthed from this conference line. Ideas, projects, and plans were birthed from this one as well. So in doing that, we were able to establish other ministries who became part of it and grew from that place. And God blessed them as well during that time. And we started with a conference called the Lifeline Conference. And it's been Lifeline Conference every year in June. Started off in South Bend, Indiana. We took it from South Bend, Indiana, I believe with Alabama, South Bend, Indiana, and then here in this region. Then we made it our business to let people know that we will expand it into other cities, towns, communities, and nations. So been continuously moving and doing what we do concerning the conference line. So tonight, we want to talk about the vision of the prophetic conference line that was birthed from the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2, verse number 1 through 4. Y'all praying for me tonight. I've been in that state of exhaustion, but I was able to pull it off yesterday and yesterday afternoon as well. So we thank God for those who have been really praying for us. I don't know, ever since that injury to my tongue has been kind of numb, but I'm pulling it off anyway. So you all just keep us in the prayer. A little cough, not COVID, just trying to maneuver. So, all right. Okay, so we want to talk about the vision of the prophetic conference line, birthed from the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2, verse 1 through 4. Habakkuk said, I was set upon my wife, and I was set me upon the tower, and I wait to see what the Lord was saying to me when I am reproved. The word means when I am made ready. And he said, write the vision, make it plain upon table. You may run at readeth it. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not die. Though it tarry, wait for it, for we surely come to pass. His soul, which is not upright in him, is not upright, but the just shall live by what? Faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's the vision. I mean, that's the scripture. The vision of this prophetic counseling line is to communicate the life of God to his people and to change the world with one touch of a dialing of the phone, to become a voice of healing, reconciliation, and strength to a generation that had lost touch with church business as usual. Now I need a kingdom leader that heart that would allow them to become open to communicate their heart about any forces that will force them from seeing God and soul and his promise for the total person. Mission, the teaching, training, prophesying, and activating the fight of God within the person. That's the vision and the mission of this prophetic conference line, which was birthed over 14 years ago. It's our 14th year, and we're looking forward to the conference 2024, as well as March Gladness Conference Friday, the 22nd and 23rd. So if you're in the area, join us. If you're flying in, we'd love to see you. Thank you for joining us and be part of it. It will be an awesome time to see you as well for it. It's going to be a blessing. All right, tonight, this is open forum tonight, and we will be taking questions. And we will be taking questions tonight. And we'll be taking questions first. So if you have a question and comment, we're going to do that first via the blog side, Blog Talk Radio, and then we'll be coming over to the conference line and asking if any of you have any questions and comments for us. Then we will be opening up for questions from those who call in and those who leave emails and those who have called that 334 number and leave your information there. Tonight on our panel, we have several guests that are here, and some of them are not new to you all. Some are, one of them are, in other words, that I'm a founder, like one of them are, one of the guests you all know from my local church. He will be joining us tonight. But we have our great kingdom leader, Apostle Myrie Simmons, who will be one of the panelists tonight. He will be on the panel. And we will be having Evangelist Gwen Marshall. She'll be on the panel with us tonight. And we will be having our good friend and kingdom leader, Pastor Johnny L. Brown. He'll be on with us on tonight. He's joining us tonight on the panel. And then we will be having Evangelist Carlina Brooks, who will be joining us as well on the panel as well on tonight. Someone asked a question, how do you select your panel? We select our panel based upon those who have been with us, experienced, dedicated, faithful, and committed to the conference line in every area of their life. And based upon that, we select them as panel. If you're interested in being on the panel and you believe that you're seasoned, mature enough with wisdom and counsel to be able to answer the questions that come before us, and we see that you're deemed able to handle the pressure that we are handling and the questions, please feel free to call our office number at 877-912-2027. That's 877-912-2027. And leave your information there. We will certainly consider you as one of our panelists. We love to see, and we love to have men and women of God on here who are able to bless God's people on this land. If you're part of a ministry, we want to make sure you have permission of your leadership of your church, because I don't want to have any cataclysmic events concerning your leadership or your being part of this of conference land. Because oftentimes some people view other people joining us as taking their members, and we're not into that. We're into building ministry and giving people opportunity to enhance their gift here so they can use their gift there with you. It's not a building, it's a conference line. And from the conference line, we allow them to utilize the gift that God has given them and the calling that God has given them so that they can be a gift to your building ministry in congregation. That's how we are able to do that. So we thank God for the people of God. And on today, I believe I'm calling Barnabas. Barnabas was one of Paul's good friends who brought Paul on the scene and introduced him to the world. And I believe that when you're a man who believes in the gift in people, you utilize the gift of that man or that woman in the kingdom of God. And that's what we do here on this conference line. All right. We're going to go right into Ministry of Aretha Bryant. Do we have any questions from anybody on the Blog Talk side? That's anybody on the Blog Talk side. Do we have any questions from anyone on the Blog Talk side that's over there that want to come in with their question, Administrator Aretha Bryant?
No, sir, not at this time. However, we do welcome everyone that's listening in live and in the chat room.
Okay. If you would do me a favor, before we go to the conference line, we have two of those announcements over there. You can play those and come back. And we'll go straight into conference line if anybody have any questions. So if you on the conference line that are listening in and you have a question for us concerning anything that you need information on, whether it's a word of knowledge, something concerning the Bible, something in a personal life, something that you're struggling with, something that you need an answer to, whether it's marriage, being single, challenges in your life, issues in your life, conflict in your life, church questions in your life. It gets deep over here when we answer these questions. So whatever the Lord put in your heart to share or whatever you feel you need to share, we're here to address it with a biblically based answer and from an authentic place of experience as well. And we are here to deal with that and to address it. No answer is a dumb answer. We want you to feel free to ask your question. Our panels are the only ones that will be able to respond to the question. And then at the end, we open it up for comments at that time. So I found out that recently some people have a behavior pattern. So when we allow you to make a comment, we don't want you to preach. I want you to teach. I want you to make your comment to the point and then make your exit. All right. So Administrator Brian is going to bring the commercial in, and then we're going to come back, and I'll let the people know who the panels are again. And if you're on the panel, you hit star 6 on the panel and let us know that you're here. We'll be right back after the commercial.
Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries present
March Gladness.
Go big or don't go at all.
March 22nd through 24th, live at Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, 231 East 146th Street in Harvey, Illinois, under the direction of Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Senior Pastor.
This is going to be an epic event.
It kicks off Friday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. Get ready for Apostle Andre Taylor Sr. of A New Beginning Prayer and Outreach Ministry of Chicago. Saturday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. Get ready for Apostle Beverly London from God Cares For You Ministry of Chicago. Sunday, March 24th at 11 a.m. It's Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. from Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries of Harvey, Illinois. This is going to be one for the ages. March Gladness. Go big or don't go at all. For more information, please call 877-912-2027 or area code 708-825-1988 or log on to www.werestoreyou.org. March Gladness, March 22nd through 24th at Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry. Call and find out more information today, and we want to see you there. Join Prophet LaRon Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to LaRon Matthews on Facebook and LaRon Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
All right. Bless the Lord. Okay, we have a panel here once again. We have Apostle Maurice Simmons from Restoration Truth Ministry, Hampton, Newport News, Virginia. Bless you, man of God.
Good evening. God bless you, Doctor. Bless you on tonight. Bless the people of God.
Amen. And we have Evangelist Gwen Marshall of Restoration Destiny Center, San Antonio, Texas. And I bless you, woman of God.
God bless you.
And he bless you as well, too. And we have Pastor Johnny L. Brown. God bless you, man of God, for joining us on tonight as well. Thank you for joining us, man of God.
Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. Amen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you good, man of God. Thank you. And then we have Evangelist Carlina Wilkes. She is joining us as well. Can you? She's on. You on right with
yes.
Evangelist?
Yes,
Pastor Arnold. Amen. Bless you all on tonight. It's going to be great tonight, so thank everybody for joining us. Once again, on the blog talk chat, thank you all for connecting with us over there as well and on the conference tonight as well. All right. Now, if you're on the blog talk side, blog talk, and you want to ask a question of us, you hit 1 on your dial, and you can come in and ask your question. That's the blog side. Blog side, that's the 319 side. You get it 1 on your dial, and come in if you have a question for the panel that you would like to ask the panel. All righty? All right. If you're now on the conference line, you're on the conference line and you're listening in on the conference line, and you have a question for us, you're on the conference line, and you're listening over there, and you have a question for the panel, we want to give you an opportunity, those who have a question over here, you can hit *6 and come in at this time if you're on the conference line and you have a question for us, hit *6 at this time and you can come in now. Amen. So conference line, anybody on the conference line would like to come in and ask a question of us. I'm moderator, so we'll take your question and the panel, they'll be able to answer the question that you have on today. Hallelujah. All right. Any questions from the audience? All right. Now, we're going to go to our Administrator Aretha Bryant. If you have any questions from the email from the 334 number or from text messages, or from the blog side that you have for us that you want to, that you have for us. Now, if you're listening in now and you don't want to come live, you can call that number. What is that number, Administrator Brian? Does anybody know? I think
334-440-6152. They can fix that number.
334.
440-6152.
152. All right, you can text your question over there to her, and she'll be able to answer. That's 334-440-6152. All right. Tonight, getting ready to take the questions. Administrator Brian, do you have any questions for us over there? Oh, you know what? Hold on, Administrator Brian. Anybody from the panel, do you guys have any questions that you guys like to share or like to bring up so we can address it? Because sometimes I put you guys last. But the panel, if you guys have a question that we can answer that someone may have sent you all, we'd like to do that at this time. Anybody from the panel?
This is Angela Marshall. Earlier, I had texted about someone had asked me about the seven last words, you know, why is that done in a every year like a tradition in the Baptist church? That's where they're from, and I just told them I would ask. I'm not sure if they're on tonight, but if someone can address, you know, or talk a little bit about where that derived from or why is it done.
Okay. Anybody in the panel wanna address that? I'm not from grew up in the missionary Baptist arena or Baptist arena, but I have a lot of colleagues and friends in the Baptist arena, and very well medium good friends of mine, and even preached there at some of the churches. But if anybody wanna address what are the last seven words of Jesus, and why? Where do it come? Where did it come from?
Well, this is Pastor Johnny Brown. It's a memorial unto Christ. When you in the missionary Baptist circle, especially when they are stout in their teaching and their doctrine, you haven't preached until you preach the cross. It don't matter what kind of revelation you have, if you have not preached the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, you have not preached. And so it's an honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the reason why they go for this is to a memorial unto him for what he's done for us. Amen. On his travels to the, you know, to go from judgment hall to judgment hall, and, you know, to be nailed on the cross and to be laid in the borrowed tomb and raised on the third day.
they stand on that at all times. Man, very simple as that.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, there's your answer, Evangelist
okay,
Marshall.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you.
Anybody else want to?
Yeah, probably from what I have learned, not doing real deep studies on it, first getting saved and coming into the what they call the original Free Will Baptist, I know that they did it. And during that time, it was a traditional thing on Good Friday that it was kicking off, bringing into. Back then, we was calling it Easter Sunday until I came into the knowledge of the truth to understand what was pagan to bring us up to now to honor resurrection. And that's what they were basing it upon, but from a traditional and religious place. Me, and knowing and understanding what I know now, having more knowledge and revelation of the scriptures and then what God reveals, I see it a little more different now, just based on doing it from a traditional or religious way, even though they are tying it to the word of Christ's last sayings. To me, I do believe that a lot of people from the religious world, because they have become traditional, still have not gotten what I say the revelation or the impact from it. In even them saying it to me, that's what I just discerned from it. But it's a traditional thing. They connected to that, even though it's Christ is his last saying. They connect that to that, as the man of God said a few minutes ago. But to me, it's still from a religious traditional place. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves religion traditional place. Nothing wrong with tradition. Now, don't get me wrong, because certain things we do, it can become a traditional thing. Because we're repetitively doing the same thing. And Prophet, that's one of the things I wanted to ask, address another question, but I want to shift because somebody else might want to come in and say something on this, but I come back after, you know, the words.
Amen. All right. Bless the Lord. Hope that person was able to get an answer, Gwen Marshall, concerning that seven word.
Yes, sir. They're texting me now saying it was helpful. Thank you.
I think a lot of other denominations are into that too now as well. Yeah, as well. All right. Administrator Bryant, anyone else on the panel have a question that they would like to ask? Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take the first question. Yes, sir.
Oh, if they got a question, or they go ahead. If they got a question. Yeah, I'll hold this one. Kind of think the same one that was brought to my attention again, and it got me kind of took me back some years. But I'll see if anybody else have any question before I bring it up again.
Okay. All right. Tonight, Administrator Biden, do we have any questions the people? Yes,
this is
tonight.
Two of them that's on the table. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is for our panel. These questions are for the panel. And anyone of the panel can answer it. It's not a certain order. So, Mr. Brown, it's not a certain order if you want to come in and answer. Gwen, Evangelist Marshall, Dr. Wilkson, Apostle Murray Simmons, and I can give my take on it as well when I need it. Amen. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Why do so many women in and out of the ministry try to be a man's equal instead of his opposite?
Say that one more time, Minister, but I want to make sure I heard that right.
Why do so many women in and out of the ministry try to be a man's equal instead of his opposite.
Okay. Why do so many women in or out of the ministry, whether in the world or in ministry, why are they trying to be a man's equal instead of being, say that last part, instead
of opposite.
Or being the opposite. In other words, what the question is, I want to make sure. No, let me just address it the way it is.
I think they're really directing it at femininity and masculinity.
Okay. All right. Why is it they're trying to be equal to the man instead of maintaining their role as the feminine woman that are trying to be the masculine man? Question. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Administrator Dr. Bryant, is it addressed just to women in ministry or just women altogether?
Yeah, I think it's women all together.
Well, he said so many women in and out of the ministry try to be a man equal instead of his opposite. So I guess it's both ways, in and out of the ministry.
Okay. So that means that if they're not in the ministry at all, or they can be in the ministry. Do that include being in the world trying to be a man, or in being saved trying to be a man too? It's a multifaceted question there. So I just want to make sure.
Well, Dr. Bryant, I can say something here.
Come on, Evangelist.
I'm trying to put it in a way that it won't be offensive to anyone. A lot of times when you see women that have tried to take on a masculinity approach to their lifestyle, it could be for numerous reasons. One is that they felt rejected. They felt maybe because their father may wanted a son, and they wanted the attention of the father. So that could be one reason. Two is that they have an identity crisis. They feel that they're supposed to be a man versus a woman. And three, I just feel that they feel that they just as equal, or they feel that they can do just as much as a man. But that doesn't mean all women are like that. It's just those ones that want to be in that particular arena. Me, myself, I love being a female. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. So it just depends on the scars or the abuse or what have you that individual particular female has went through, or the company that she has kept or been enticed to. So there could be a numerous of reasons that this approach is happening. I'm going to say, and I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that it is just not just for females, but males as well, being out of place, because the word of God speaks that they're going to leave, some have left their own natural affections. And I can only give you what God has given me. And I said, God, why is the spirit uprising the way that it is across the board? And we know that it is an attack of the enemy for two reasons. One, we know that the family union makes up the church. And God had commanded that the fruit, they were to be fruitful and multiply. So if the enemy can have either male or female to leave their own natural affection, it's going to impact what God has ordained from the foundation of the world. Number two is that he felt that if he can get these people, male or female, to be out of alignment of what God wanted them to be, It's going to impact the church, the four-wall congregation. The church cannot multiply if those individuals are study doing the things that they're doing, because the only thing that they're going to do is be about self, and they're not going to be about the will of God. Even though we know that there's churches raising up and saying that God is going to accept all of this, we know that it is contrary to the word of God. Regardless of what they say, God hates the sin. He loves the individuals. And so, therefore, that is what has been revealed to me, just especially, that it's an impact. But back to the original question, it is that depending on the circumstance of that female, why she does what she does to become masculine, it can be one of those reasons that I stated. I'm going on mute.
Yeah. If I may also piggyback off the woman of God as well, even looking from a different angle, sometimes too is that when men are misplaced in their leadership or they abuse their authority, even as being a priest of the home, the man of God should be able to identify the anointing and the grace and the giftings that's within his own household, within his family, from his wife to his children. And if the man is not secure in who he is as a man, or he has not stepped up to the plate and did the things that he should do as a man, fire secure and making sure that his home is provided for, taken care of, and secure, then that leaves the woman open and vulnerable to have to take on those roles and those responsibilities, which will cause her to operate contrary to who her own nature, how God created her to be as his wife or as his helpmeet. When you deal with situations like that, what happens is that the woman has the wisdom and has the structure within herself as a woman, and it does not take away from who she is as a woman. But the man would try to get her to dummy down who she is in order for him to feel superior within his home, which in return handicaps the household. So it's not so much that when you're dealing with a woman like that, that she trying to look her husband eye to eye, or that she's trying to be equal with him, although, you know, this is my personal perspective. I'm not trying to dispute about it any way or anything like that. I'm just sharing it. It's from my perspective. I can't see God taking, you know, one of my ribs and making, you know, someone that's so beautiful and so awesome and wonderful, and she might be, you know, a part of me. I understand according to the scriptures that God, Christ is my head, and I'm the head of my wife, and, you know, all of those things could come along in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. But I recognize that the imbalance in the home comes from these kind of struggles within the dynamics of a home and a family when there's, you know, the man and the woman. But would you have a woman who has wisdom, who understands who she is, and she has the ability to manage and multitask and do all of these different things. It does not take away from the man when he's confident in who he is. It does not make him less of a man when he understands the dynamics of his home. I believe that a man of God, being a priest of his home, will identify and recognize those traits and help to enhance those things within his family, from his wife to his children, so that they can, you know, I just believe, help his family to live their life to the full, in servitude unto his family, you know, being a servant leader. You know, that's just one aspect of it. It's not the whole aspect, but just looking at it from that angle. So a lot of times, like with the woman of God stated earlier, if you left out there in a position where you had to take on the responsibility of what, quote unquote, we believe that the man is supposed to be doing within the home, or if the man is absent from the home and she's doing it by herself, she can't help but to have that kind of nature. And some of the women that I've encountered and talked to over the years who have had to take on those dual roles of responsibility, when you really sit down and talk with them, they didn't want that. They want to be in that position where they can be submissive to their husbands. You know, they want their family to be whole and complete. It's hard to do that if you don't trust. If I abuse my authority, or if I drop the ball, or if I'm not being honest, you know, these are just different dynamics or different things that happen within the relationship between the man and the woman that would cause somebody to put up their shields and be like, I know as long as I'm in control, this won't fail. Because when I gave you the opportunity to do this for me, you was unable to do it. And then you lacked the ability to communicate with me. And instead of communicating with me, you beat me down because you wanted to suppress. When you should have been looking at how can I help to encourage and cover and protect and provide the love truly necessary for the family to function. And any, you know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. And I just believe that when you come into those kind of dynamics where there's a lack of communication, then it doesn't have room to heal or to be fixed. But if there's communication, where there's an understanding, where there's real love, you know, I'm just putting it out there, where there's real love, then that person can love you until you get to that place where you need to be. Because, you know, nobody really has it all together. I just believe that, you know, every last one of us has something that we need to work on to be better human beings across the board, you know. And so, you know, just from that angle, those are, you know, some of the dynamics that comes along with why a woman would view herself in that manner. But I believe that if you really take a look, even if you go and look at the Proverbs 31 woman, she was handling her business across the board. Her husband trusted securely in her. She was the one putting in the work, and he was known in the gate. So, you know, that's just, you know, just another picture of that, you know. So I hope I didn't make the question even more worse, but, you know, just to piggyback and kind of, you know, put that out there as well from that angle. Amen. I'm out the way.
Amen. That was powerful, and I definitely agree with you, man of God. I agree with Dr. Wilkes. We know that in society now, we know that moral laws and the nature of God is changing, and we know that the enemy, as Dr. Wilkes said earlier, is changing, and is changing people's hearts and minds. And going back to what the man of God just said, seeing the roles, positions. And I believe if we come back into our true identity and follow the laws and the moral laws of God, I don't believe we will have all the stuff that's going on where the man is out of position and now the woman carrying the weight, and that's why she's becoming masculine. I teach that all the time. The woman's not built to carry weight, because as long as she's pushing weight, she's going to get muscles. Man of God says she's a virtuous woman. She should be soft, not hard. And we know that because of society changing, it's a trick of the enemy, going back to the garden again. I always like to go back to the garden. But we're living it. And that's why even in our babies, church world sitting back, the religious world sitting back, allowing man to change the laws of God, moral laws. And we're talking among ourselves. We know we got some people praying and interceding. But we're talking among ourselves instead of people rising up and having a voice to speak against these things. I mean, you have people on influential platforms not saying anything against all the stuff that they're seeing taking place in God's church, God, in Christendom. And this is why we see, you know, women rising up with masculinity or men being feminine. It's because of these spirits. Dr. Wilkes said it, because people have left their roles If the man is out of the house, out of position, his role as a father, husband, as the provider, the protector, the provisionary, if he's there, I don't care if it comes to a point where the enemy's coming and trying to touch the babies. No, the man is on guard. No, that ain't happening. So when that takes place, then it shifts the house. Because if a man comes in and he touched a young man or touch a woman wrong, and then they grow up that way, because a lot of people grow up that way as well, because they've been touched, they've been violated. So they take on them tendencies. And going back, I think Dr. Wook said it earlier, it's a place of they're trying to fill that void, so they feel like if they didn't get that love, someone touched them wrong, so now they take on that spirit that has now been what? Transferred on them from a child. And then coming back to ministry-wise, a lot of people want to be validated from positions, and that's why you see nothing against women. I thank God for God using women. My wife, thank God for my queen, my real, amen, working ministry side by side, where we don't have to compete against each other. We just complete what God has placed in the earth for him for us to do. But a lot of people taking that on, you know, the masculinity role, you know, headship role. If we go back and really study the scriptures, man, God just blowing my mind about a lot of things. And I know prophet, many people up here that really have a strong relationship with the Lord and getting into his word and allow him to release revelation to you, you'll find a lot of things that the church world, where we're doing wrong, we're off, discrepancy. Things have gotten in, we have come common with, and we just letting it go by, thinking it's okay. And that's why we're looking at a society, amen, same-sex marriages, our babies confused, all this stuff going on, and it's in the church. So this is why we see. I believe it goes back to the man, his position. If he's in it, in his not being a serpent authority over the woman, but being at a place, as the man of God stated, being that protector, being the one that know how to lead and guide the family, I believe we'll see everything that God has established through his word and for us come full circle. I believe it'll come back in divine order and divine alignment for our will. We just have to, but we live in a society, we really got to pray, y'all, because it's really off. It's off, and it's in the church. That's my take on it. We just got to follow the blueprint.
This Evangelist Marshall, and I mean, everything has just been said. I can't do nothing but repeat it if I said it, and that is I just concur with everybody. And, you know, the main thing about it is I just, with all this being said, I just think about Matthew 6:33. If we just seek ye first the kingdom, because that's the whole role. It's not just about the church, the male, you know, the male, the female. It's about the kingdom, and we got to take back dominion and do it by the blueprint, not our way and what we think and feel, but we got the instructions if we just follow them in the word of God. God bless.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We heard the information, the question. That was a question that was able to the individual ask, give them a little bit more clarity, Administrator Brian. I just want to take a take on Proverbs 31, scripture that I think so many people, they read it for their own definition, not taking anything from the panel at all. But this is the King Lemuel words that his mother gave him to what to look for in a wife for his kingdom. And she was explaining to him as a child all of the importance of what to look for the first five she's talking. Then the verse 10 talks about who can then find this virtuous woman. Then it talks about her price and her value is above rubies. And her heart is to what? Her husband. And she does safely trust in him. Not Bozo. She faithfully trusts in him. And she knows her role and her duty as it comes to that role and duty. So his mother was sharing with him the importance of that position and explaining to him what he has to do to be able to maintain the criteria to get that kind of woman in his life and for his life. We all know that the world, especially the United States of America, the Western culture is very badly breached, broken, and the society ill is almost to the point where it's self-destructing itself at this time. But at the same time, there are many individuals that God has positioned in the earth that understand the moral climate and the principles of the male and the female duty and responsibility. I think where we're at in the world now is because there's a lacking of strong leaders in the land. That's both sides of the aisle, whether you male-ocratic or female-ocratic, male-republican, female-republican, as it calls the aisle. But I think when the person questioned about this, the role and the duty of the individual, it's because of a lack of fathers in the home, and then the ones who are in there, they only understand a little about the role and the duty of the man and the manhood. And so from that place, a lot of women lose themselves having to take on those responsibilities and the duties and find themselves in roles and duties that they would not deem for their body. But yet it's still, I don't encourage anybody to lose, especially a woman to lose her, who she is as a woman trying to do that. Just ask God to give you that strength to be able to do that. That's my point on that one. Is any other question with that all right, Administrator Brian?
Prophet, can I add this to it too, man? God showed me something years ago, and I've been praying a long time for this. I'm not a racist person, but when it comes to our culture as a black people, I know what happened to our people from slavery to this present day, and we see it in society. We know that what happened to the men, we know what happened to the women. You know, how they were raped and different things that were taking place. A lot of that passed on down through bloodline. And a lot of that is still going on today. It's just in a different, I would say, in a different perspective. It's still there. And that's where I believe that men of God, women of God, have to be the curse breakers to break those cycles, those generational things that pass it down. Because look at our black men, a lot of them in prison. I was on my way there. Look at the streets, with us young men in the streets. I was there, and I see that as strong black men, we're pulled out of the homes, pushed into prison or pushed to the cemeteries, where now I think the man of God said it too, that now the women got to carry the weight, the responsibility, raise the children, take care of the bills, cook, clean, all of that. Man, that's a lot on a woman.
to me, that's why I always pointed back to the man. That's why I always said when God called out to the, in the garden, when he called out, he only called out one name. That was Adam. He didn't call
you.
One name. It fall right back on that man.
Absolutely.
I just want to add that piece, Prophet.
You're right. I definitely understand that. Because
it didn't, change. It, nothing changed until he disobeyed. Because God gave him the authority. He gave him the authority. He had the right to rebuke the serpent and rebuke his wife. Say, get over here. What you doing?
Love it. And the way you deal with that. The question on the table is, that question one more time, Administrator Brian, for us real thinking.
Okay.
We have to want to be sensitive about it, but I think the truth of it has to be really addressed in such a way, because it's going to be a conflict either way when it comes to that position and role. Because there's a lot of people, a lot of women angry, a lot of men that are frustrated, a lot of women that are frustrated. So that's a very big question there on the table. Go ahead, Administrator Brian.
Okay. Why do so many women in and out of the ministry try to take a man, try to be a man's equal instead of his opposite?
And a lot of them, that's what they see in their household, too. They've been trained to do that. You know? Their mom saw it. Their grandmother saw it. They saw those positions. And the television don't help at all, either. So it's a various area that people have stepped into that was not deemed for them.
May I be transparent,
all right,
please?
Anyone?
I want to come from a place,
sir,
of transparency. I grew up in a very highly volatile household. I was forced to grow up before my time. And make a long story short, I watched my daddy, Big Johnny Mustard, who my biological dad is. It's a long story. I don't want to go in there. But I watched my daddy, Big Johnny, when he would get drunk and high. He would jump on my mother like she was a grown, you know, like she was a man. And I grew up watching my mother get beat down, bloody. And yet that's the same person that when we were short on food, I watched her sacrifice and go without eating just to make sure that my brothers and sisters and I would eat. And so I grew up with the mindset of seeing my mother go through these things. So it was embedded in my mind, even as a child, that the woman was stronger than the man because of what I witnessed. And my mindset when I was younger was, if my mother, being a woman, could take a beating like this and keep moving forward to a certain degree, that I'm a male child, I'm a man, that I should be, you know, that much stronger. But when you grow up in a household and you see the woman doing everything, it either warps the mindset of a young man and thinking that that's how it's supposed to be, and it's not. You know, it's not, you know, so the teaching or what is being exampled before our children, some of them, is not the right kind of light and example. And it distorts and it warps our views and our outlook on life. So there are many people that are out there that's living an alternate lifestyle based off of how they grew up and what they was raised up under, which goes right into what Apostle LaRon was saying with this sharing, is that, you know what I mean, when you come up like that, your mind is sheared with all these images, and you gotta try to relearn, and you have to abandon those ideologies or those concepts that were birthed out of pain. And that's where God comes in at, because now God had to come into my life and change me. I mean, I really had to die to all of that whole mindset. And even at 51 years old, I'm still working through some of those things that I grew up from. You know what I mean? Like, I'm delivered. I understand that I'm the head of my household. I understand that God called me to be a man. And so it causes me to have a different level of sensitivity when it comes to my wife, because I also understand that she comes up according to whatever she's been exposed to as a child. I recognize that those areas in her life are strengths that she had to develop, because she had to deal with some of those things that I shared earlier about, as far as I trusted a person with my heart, but they didn't handle it right, or they misunderstood my strengths. And so she had to dummy down who she was in order to get along. But one of the things that I did in coming into my wife's life is I always wanted her to be assured, listen, you don't have to dummy down who you are to make me feel like a man. I already know who I am. I'm good. I'm confident in who I am, you know, and so I'm secure with that. I want to know who you are completely, all of you. And then the Holy Spirit gives me wisdom by grace of his word or virtue of his word to help me to cover and protect my wife in the way where, instead of me being a person who attacks her because of her strength, a person who brings forth healing to help manage or help her to navigate, so, and let her know that it's okay for you. You can lay on my chest and you can be a woman. You don't have to be hard in the area because I'm here now. I'm your rock. You know what I'm saying? I'm your support. You know what I mean? I'm here for you. I'm here to cover and protect. And the more that I do that, the more healing that comes in to our heart, the more she's able to relinquish those areas where she may have felt in times past where she had to hold on to that in order to be safe, if you understand what I'm saying. So because of where I came from, it messed up my mindset when it came to my leadership role, which also in my younger days disadvantaged or even handicapped me to a certain degree. And so I had to learn. I didn't even understand it. I didn't even understand the authority that I had when I was younger. I didn't understand the power and the authority that God gave me as a man. I knew I was a man, but my view of handling business was what I saw in my household. You can look at me wrong, bump into me, and I'm on you. I was violent. So I had to die to that lifestyle, and I had to relearn everything in order for me to be the person that I am today. You know, and so I'm grateful to God for his grace and his mercy upon my life. But those are some of the things that affect a lot of us, whether male or female, just not having the right kind of examples before us, being taught the wrong things, you know. But I'm out the way. I didn't want to take up a lot of time. I just want to share, you know, be a little transparent with, you know, some of the things that happened to us that may
so
unnecessarily hard. It makes some men a little bit soft. You know, it's sad. No, but to God be the glory.
So, and I appreciate the pastor saying what he said, and Apostle Simmons saying what they said, because when you look at it from they gave him the male perspective and what you know to the answer to this question, and it's from the female perspective and the answer to this question is it leads off actually what I was saying. It depends on what that particular female has embraced, what she has experienced. And by no means am I saying that it's okay for her to act like that. Absolutely not. But what I am saying is that this is where the church or we as believers have to understand that because so many things are out of order and not in alignment with God, that when we see these, when we see these type of things, we have to do like Jesus did, have compassion, because we may be the only escape to help them to get back to where they need to be at. And I just want to share this incident because, and when I first started volunteering in the community doing taxes, and I had an experience and I ran into this young lady, and she was very beautiful. And I didn't force her to say anything, but I asked if she had to meet me, and I had to, so she wasn't that far from the church where I attend. So I told her to come over there so that I can meet her just outside, because it was a location that she would be feeling comfortable, that we can be, it was in the daytime so that I can get her documents, and plus I have some business to take in. But when I met her and stuff, I guess she was feeling a little uncomfortable, but I wasn't trying to make her feel uncomfortable. And she just got on the subject, and she just started pouring out her heart, saying that she always felt that she was, from her childhood, that she was supposed to be a male. She didn't feel that she was supposed to be a female. And I wasn't trying to knock her or nothing. I was just trying to get her taxes done. But I ended up ministering to her. And I ended up giving her some things, and she says, I really do believe in God. She says, and I'm not trying to force this on anybody, but I gave her something to think about. And when I seen her later on, I seen her like a year or so later, she was different. And she was different in her approach and how she was carrying herself, but yet still she said she just liked to wear men clothing, and she just liked certain things. And but she was beautiful. I mean, when you look at her, you can tell that she was a female, but she was just doing that. Then she shared some things with me that I understood her pain. I understood her pain, but I ministered to her wherever she was at to help her to try to come from that hardness that she was experiencing and that she was trying to display. So we have to know with wisdom, we have to definitely have knowledge and understanding how to handle the individual, whether they be male or female, when they come into our presence with this spirit upon them. And we have to understand it. And then I can't help but to just, and I know this is not the same, but just like even Jesus, when he encountered the woman at the well, he handled her with a delicate glove. Even though he said the things that he said, the cause had to come to let her know, I know what you're doing, and what you're doing is not right. But he got her to get to the point that she came to repentance. And this is how, when you're looking at these situations with these male or female that are out of character, and just like Apostle Sam said, we have to go back to the garden, and we just have to just look at the things of the foundation. And when we approach these individuals that are broken, they may not have been raised up in the church. They have all the examples that they have had is to see the woman beat down or the man beat down or whatever it is that they have experienced in their past. We have to look at that everybody didn't come from a loving home. Everybody didn't come from an area where they know they was taught correctly. And then I'm just saying this, and I'm going to go on mute. And I can concur to what the man of God was saying, because I saw my mother grow up when I was growing up, and the male that was in the home at that time would beat her down. She kept the house clean and stuff. And I saw the traumatic things that he would do, just being mean to her. And then one thing that I had promised myself, and no man gonna beat on me. I just said, no, I could not. So I didn't turn to be hard, but then there was some things that was I had a strong approach and some things that I could have done better. And God had to deal with me till I came into the place that I did not degrade my husband. Or, you know, I had to learn how to love him in the proper perspective of God because of what I saw growing up. I had a fine example of a father. I didn't like everything that he did, but I did have an example because he took care of the home. He made sure that he was the breadwinner and stuff. But he didn't give me all the love and attention that I needed in growing up. That came from the mom. And so there were some things that was absent. So there could be a lot of things that can contribute to why she acts the way she acts. And that's what I have to say.
What I would say also to go with along with you said, woman of God, is that we have to, you know, in order to effectively minister to God's people, learning and understanding the landscape of a person definitely helps with that, because it, with the wisdom that God gives you through your study and your walk with him, allows you to be able to peer into those places within their life and minister to them effectively. A lot of times we go into things blindly and we don't fully understand the dynamics of what a person has gone through that made them have that tough exterior that they have, you know. And so when we can learn the landscape of a person, it does make it a little, you know, it still works because some things don't happen overnight. But it does help you to, you know, to be able to minister more effectively. And like you said, have that compassion and that understanding for the next human being. I agree. Amen.
That's very important. You're right. That's very important. We're talking about that issue. And that's a good point, but I want to shift it over to the church world. There's so many people in the church world don't understand the love of God because they only say because they were given fear. They were sold fear into serving God. Well, I'm serving God because I don't want to go to hell and I don't want Dad to go to hell, but they don't want to serve God. A lot of people, because most, you see, and most of, I'm going to say Pentecostalism people, Pentecostal, we serve God. And even the holiness people, most people who start holiness people, when you see them, their main thing is they don't want to go to hell. What they do is they dress for the occasion while fighting their emotions inside. So they beat up from the pulpit. If you do this, you're going to hell. If you wear makeup, you're going to hell. If you play certain music, you're going to hell. If a woman preaches, you're going to hell. If you don't submit to your husband, you're going to hell. And you know, all of these, if you do this, you're going to hell. So when you look at most people who are in the holiness arena, the only reason I didn't even go Holy Ghost, it's just that the whole was in you, and then all of a sudden they put the ghost to it. Maybe it was the ghost who kept everybody holy. But when you, because in the Old Testament, they were holy people. The New Testament, we just call it the Holy Ghost. Jesus came, the Paraclete. It was, holiness was, Testament holiness was in the New Testament. What I'm saying is this. Many people who come into the church world don't understand the power of love.
Come on.
Because if they do, a man of God, a woman of God hug people, like all the years of ministry I've been in, hug somebody, they got a problem with that. You see what I'm saying? Hug them. People, why do you hug me? Because you have to get the people be reprogrammed, know what love is about. So we train people, okay, you hug from the side. Is the side going to stop a man, a woman from hugging
boy.
From the front? Somebody got a big,
boy.
Nice body on the side.
Heaven, little boy.
You know,
So you,
he
you,
is an eating little machine.
You got to deal with all of those things.
An eating little machine.
That's connected to that.
He's a little human termite.
Mute your line, Evangelist. Well, we can hear you a little bit. We can hear you over there. But so we really gotta program church people. We have to program a lot of people in the church because what they see of in the church, I don't think is relationship. And then you gotta be careful to marry with that. Be confusion right there. You're bringing the love to the church, but they don't think it's a relationship. You got to reprogram the people that try to teach the program. Reprogram the ones that are walking around think they already know the program. Teach the people the program. You have to. You have to embrace the people. You have to show them love. Yeah. Perverted mind. Excuse me from saying it. I feel most people. How you hug them? Watch me hug a person. Well, just ask me to give you a hug. I give you a hug. It don't cost you nothing. I ain't charging you no money for it. I'm saying it's spirit talking about this area. I ain't scared of nobody, and I ain't scared of him. He don't scare me. You know, the power of building a relationship. And a lot of it has to be the church world. We ain't talking about the one that's messed up. We're talking about the one, because most of the ones who are genuine, they got to protect themselves because of who they are in the kingdom. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. We have to be that example and the demonstration of the presence of God's love towards people, you know, which was leading me to the word environment, because the environment, people coming in from different environments, they want the word of God, but they need to feel the presence of the love of God. You got the rule of thumb in certain ministry. Men hug the and the women hug the women. Then be careful if a man hug a woman and a woman hug a man too. It's because of what's experienced in the church world. Amen. Panel, Brother Bright, anything else over there? The two question, Doctor.
The last question, the only question that I have is, it's a gentleman that's 45 years old that's newly saved, and he wants to...
take a commercial real quick, Administrator Brian.
Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can do a commercial and then come back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
How many I can't hear me? Can y'all all hear me too?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
One second.
Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries present
March Gladness.
Go big or don't go at all.
March 22nd through 24th, live at Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, 231 East 146th Street in Harvey, Illinois, under the direction of Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Senior Pastor.
This is going to be an epic event.
It kicks off Friday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. Get ready for Apostle Andre Taylor Sr. of A New Beginning Prayer and Outreach Ministry of Chicago. Saturday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. Get ready for Apostle Beverly London from God Cares For You Ministry of Chicago. Sunday, March 24th at 11 a.m. It's Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. from Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries of Harvey, Illinois. This is going to be one for the ages. March Gladness.
Go big or don't go at all. For more information, please call 877-912-2027 or area code 708-825-1988 or log on to www.werestoreyou.org. March Gladness, March 22nd through 24th at Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry. Call and find out more information today, and we want to see you there.
All right, we'll be back. Bless the Lord for you all thus far. You were saying some administrator, Richard Bryan. Go ahead now.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Okay. Okay, so gentleman, he's 45 years old.
Okay.
Newly saved, about a year. And he wants to the panel, if they will, explain to him the spirit realm.
Explain to him the spirit realm. All right. Amen. Anybody else going to move on it? I'll go ahead. What does he want to
know as it relates to the spirit? My phone is on a delay, you all. Am I kind of like I believe like it's on a delay.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going in and out or underwater.
Pastor LaRon?
Yeah. Hold on.
Pastor LaRon?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Deacon Sanchez. I'm on the line. I just wanted to announce myself. Is that okay?
That's fine. As long as you're on. Bless you, man. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Apostle Simeon, because the question's kind of like a little more, I just wanted a little bit more clarity as it relates to the question. He wanted to explain the spirit world.
Spirit world is now from a faith walk. That's what you call unseen. That's spiritual too. That's what our Bible teaches us, to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by the Spirit of God and not of ourselves, which is the flesh or carnality of us. Now, in the spirit world, it's demons reign in that world too. I call them Nephilim, fallen demons. They reign in that world too. So as being believers, we have to be able to discern what is God and what is not in the realm of the spirit. We know a lot of people always explain this too. I know, Prophet, you probably explain this as well, how we as human beings, we're made up of three parts. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. We're tripartite. And a lot of people get stuck in what I call the soulish realm. That's the carnal or fleshly place, versus being in the body, which is where we have our five senses at, dealing with the brain and all of that. But coming back to the spirit, when God gives you his spirit, Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, as they call it, when you receive that, you now, by the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, it teaches us to walk by faith. That's spiritual. That's why when God created Adam again, when he blew pneuma in him, breath in him, he became a living soul. But we understand to follow the nature of that, and then coming back to Christ giving us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, we now pray to God that he will lead and navigate us by his Spirit, so we now walk by faith. We trust God, because certain things, when it comes to faith, you can't see it. That's why Hebrew 11 and 1 said, now faith is the substance thing hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it. It's like you can't see God. God is a spirit. So when we receive him, like people worshiping him, when we worship him on Saturday or Sunday, whenever we worship him, you can't see him
unseen, invisible God, invisible kingdom, but he's in us. Always explains it's like you can't see inside yourself, not let the doctor get a scope to go down and look down inside of you. Same way it is spiritually. That's the unseen world. That's why it's important that believers pray to God to teach them to be able to go into the spirit world, not channeling spirits or conjuring spirits, because you have the demonic world. You have that dark world, principalities, they reign in that realm. And a lot of people open them doors and gates up to that realm and not realizing that they're praying to to another God in the name of the true and living God. And that's why we got so many religions in the world. People think they're calling on the true and living God, but they're calling on other gods and open that door up to those realms. That's the unseen realm. So that's my take on it when it comes to the spirit realm.
Amen. And those scriptures to support with the man of God, that shared is John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And also to support with the man of God, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things are not seen. For by the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So just to support with the man of God to share scriptural references.
Absolutely. That's good. I was hoping they were able to, Apostle Simmons and them, they broke that down really well.
Yes, sir. And in the chat room,
can you hear me, Prophet Matthew? Can anybody?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, in the chat room, the testimony that...
You good, Administrator Brian.
Okay, sir. In the chat room, the testimony that the pastor gave earlier about seeing his mother in an abusive relationship, it's a young man in the chat room stating he wanted to say thank you because he encountered the same thing, and your testimony really, really brought him through a phase second when you talked about it, and he appreciated it.
Amen. God bless you.
Yes.
And also to piggyback off also to give another scripture reference for the man of God about the spirit realm, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at the 10th verse, to read the remainder of that chapter. Also talks about the angels and the prince of God. The man of God really tapped into it. And so those scripture references should help that man of God as he goes on his journey. Amen.
Pastor?
Amen.
Pastor?
Yeah, hold on, Deacon. Yes, sir, hold on a quick second. All right, we'll open up. We're going to open up in a minute for the people right now, just the panel and the me being a moderator, answer the question. Right, any other questions? I mean, anything else, Administrator Brian?
No, sir, all the questions have been answered over here, and all lines are clear.
Hey, Prophet, you know another thing, too, that comes back to the church world, Christendom again, religion. We know about Christ. He's our Savior. You know, all of that is taught to us, the love of God, all of that. We're taught. We have been taught that, whether we've been in faith a long time, growing up in church, saw how, you know, what our parents, grandparents, and so on, people, family did in church, and what preachers preach and what they said. I think where the church fell at is we don't share the whole scope or the whole dynamic of the Word of God or what God is revealing to us as believers, men and women of God, especially when you start dealing with the dark world, satanic world, which is in the world, because we know Satan, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world who has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So that's that spiritual wickedness or that principality, because it reigns in certain places. It's in religion. It's in government. I think some would call it the seven mountains of it's in all of these places, and the church world leaders really won't touch on that area because it's good to teach the gospel. That's our assignment, to preach the kingdom, the gospel message. But I believe that when Jesus came into the earth to do that, he dealt with demonic forces. And leaders feel today we don't need to do that. And our young people, like this young man asking the question, if he don't understand that, then he could be facing some demonic warfare of forces that he don't even understand. And that's why it's good that we pray we get under good leadership.
Absolutely.
That teach the totality of God's word. We don't profess to know it all, but at least let the Spirit of God bring us into a place of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so we can get the revelation of what we're dealing with, whether it's God or whether Satan transformed himself as an angel of light. He's right in the pulpit. You see all of this stuff going on, and people not discerning, getting into that spiritual realm to understand it from that place. I just want to come back in and share that, man.
Amen. And I could say
that's good.
What you're saying, man, of God, you know, that's where a lot of people are getting whooped because they don't understand the dynamics of the warfare, and they don't have enough word in their belly. Well, should I say they memorize the word, but they don't believe the word that they memorize, because faith without works is dead. And so the word is life and spirit. And so to solidify what I'm saying is, when I was younger, I used to have this reoccurring dream where, before I even learned how to read, I would have the Bible, and I would be casting the devil out either one of my brothers or sisters. Make a long story short, when I read the word, it was Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I had that dream up until I was 16. After I read the word, the enemy was always trying to bind my tongue to keep me from speaking God's word. And God gave me his word before I even read the Bible. When I spoke that word, I never had that dream again. So, you know, and so understanding the dynamics of that causes you to be able to, you know, tap into the spiritual realm. My thing is counting me down, so I'm going to get out the way.
No, that's fine. That's just letting us know that when it comes to going off the live.
But, oh, okay.
Apostle,
but yeah.
I want to say this to what Apostle Simmons was saying about giving the whole totality of the word, and he is so definitely right, because when you go back and you really read, as Jesus was commissioning, when he called his disciples, this word of God plainly says he gave them power to lay hands on the sick, to cast out death. And so a lot of times that is not, as he said, it's not taught. Only the part of the gospel message is being taught, and not the full message. They don't teach how to properly use the authority that is given. What is the power? It's more to receiving the Spirit of God more than just to dance and shout and feel good. What's this power that and the authority? Like you said, I go back to the garden. That was I call it the organic existence. He gave that authority when he created, but see, we don't know it. We have to understand. That even though Adam sinned, we were born in sin and shaken iniquity. Once we come and walk in the newness of life, we have to understand that when we receive the Holy Ghost, that is that power that was there, that the things to help us to be able to sustain us and to help us to fight and war against the enemy. And I'm gonna say my favorite saying, an enemy well known is the enemy well defeated.
If you don't know your enemy, you can't defeat him.
Yeah.
That's all to it. Because every time you get in the ring, he going to knock you out. Because you don't know his tactics, how he's going to come. He's going to come with a left jab, and you trying to still jab him at the right. See, you have to know his tactics and so that you can be able to defeat him and put him under your feet where he belongs. I'm going on mute.
Well, the issue is what it was even when Jesus dealt with his disciples when it came to them dealing with certain demonic forces, and they were not able to cast it out. And he asked the question, why wasn't we able to, you know, to complete the assignment? Well, because of your unbelief and your doubt. You can speak it all day, but if you don't really believe, that's how God knew it. That's how Jesus knew that there was something that was off in them because they wasn't able to complete the assignment. But when he came on, he was able to easily cast the demon out, and the person was clothed in their right mind. And then they came and asked, well, you know, why we couldn't do it? Your unbelief. These kind of come up by prayer and fasting. So so it's not enough just to know the word. You got to believe the word as well. You know, your faith level has to come up as well. And that comes through prayer and fasting. That comes through studying God's word. That comes through being in fellowship with like-minded believers, because iron sharpens iron. Notice, you know, it comes setting up under the ministry leadership of Apostle Simmons and Apostle LaRon, and it comes to sitting up under the ministry of you, woman of God. You know, people who are believers who are sound in their faith and sound in their doctrine. Maybe because you begin to take that, because the Spirit begins to work in you, and you begin to develop an understanding and a confidence in God that allows you to know, or that shows you, or quickens you to understand that you do have power and authority. And a lot of us don't. We don't understand the full dynamics of that. I'm out the way. That's so true.
And you know what? Another thing. Here's a revelation Apostle Paul gives to the church, the body of believers, and I believe this. I believe it'll sum it up for all of us where we at on whatever level of faith that we're on. He told us to put on the whole armor of God. That's the totality of it. A lot of people are not armoring up. And going back to what Dr. Wilkes said, that's military strategy. And we're soldiers in the kingdom of God or in the army of the Lord. We have to do this because of the principality. We have to put on the whole armor of God. A lot of people don't put the whole armor of God on. They ain't protecting their hearts. They ain't protecting their head, which is the mind. They ain't carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in their hearts, as the man of God just said. Their feet, when your feet got to be shod with what? We have to have the whole armor of God on. That's why, Prophet, I think you've been saying and I've been saying, other leaders have been saying it. We have to examine ourselves. We have to look in the mirror to see where we at. What piece am I missing? God, show me what piece am I missing for my life. Do I have the helmet on? Do I have the shield of faith on? Do I have all the breastplate of righteousness? Do I have all this on? Because you're in a real world, a reality, a world where Satan rules, darkness rules, all this stuff around us, all this stuff that we see that's going on in the earth realm, a lot of it's satanic. That comes from principalities, rulers and powers in high places.
Absolutely.
It comes from that. And if we don't recognize it as believers, we'll think it's just something that's just happening. But no, it goes deeper than that. Especially if you're in the kingdom of God and you're believers and you tap into the realm of the Spirit, oh, man, a lot of people that really tap into the realm of the Spirit, they can really see demons at work.
That's right, because it happened in the Spirit before it ever happened in the natural. That's right, man of God.
Actually, that's right.
That's right.
Absolutely, that's good. That's great tonight.
And Apostle Simmons, I want you to know this too. I've never brought this out, but when you talk about putting this arm on and you're looking and examining yourself, before we had an inspection, any soldier that wanted to pass that inspection, because they know that they weren't going, you were going to get out your rules, make sure everything was in this right inches expected. Your brass was clean. You didn't have no spot, no fingerprints on it. You went over every part of your uniform before that inspection the next day, because you didn't want to be called out.
Like that.
You had to examine your uniform, and even to the point that, you know, you might have taken your uniform to the cleaners, and they might have missed a spot on the cleaners and stuff, and you didn't see it the next morning. Man, you know you was gonna get ripped. And so, if man can do that for the military, why can't we do that for God?
That's it. I like that.
Why can't we do that for God? Because I'm telling you, I was not gonna come to formation with no chocolate white boots. That means my boots wouldn't shine. I had to have my boots looking like you can see, literally, you can see yourself in my black boots that I had on my feet, because I wanted to, the sun hit it, glistened. Then that way, if they paying attention to my boots, they ain't going to be looking. I might have missed a wrinkle spot on my uniform, even though we weren't supposed to iron them, but I ironed mine anyway because I wanted to look crisp, and I wanted to look decent in my uniform. And so, therefore, I'm just saying, it was more so that if I can take that word of God and I'm going to measure myself, I'm going to measure myself to see if I be in the faith or not. If I'm lining up line upon line of precept upon precept, I can't talk about nobody else, but I can talk about Carlina, because I know how important it was for me in the military. I know more, so it's going to be even more, a greater requirement for God. So I can't cut him short. I might have slipped and slid on sometime on a uniform with that, but I can't do that with God, because he see everything, and he ain't going to miss.
Okay.
I'm going on mute.
Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Thank you, God. Beautiful. Beautiful. Powerful, powerful. Powerful. All right, Administrator Bryan, any final words over there, Chief Executive Officer?
No, sir.
We bless the Lord. All right, we're going to open up the lines. Now, we're going to open up the lines for the audience. Got a few minutes after 9 tonight. We're going to open up the line for the audience.
Excuse me, hello?
Are you still there, Evangelist Gwen Marshall?
Yes, sir.
Hold on, ma'am, just a quick second. Evangelist, all right, we want to make sure you're still there.
Yes, sir. All
right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open up the line for the audience. Some people join us late, but if you have a comment for us, the audience, if you have a comment you want to make, want to give you opportunity to make a comment, if you have a comment. If you're in the audience and you have a question for us, I want you to give us your question. If you have a comment that you'd like to make, I want you to be really brief. I'm going to show you. You are talking, if you go too long, I'm going to do like this. I'm going to say amen. Then that means you got to go ahead and finalize your question, okay? So if you have a comment for the audience, I'm going to give you an opportunity, the audience. You want to come in with a comment. Now, if you have a question, we'll take your question and try to answer it, okay? So those of you who are in the audience, not the panel, audience, if you have a question for us or a comment for us, now you got to remember when I say this, you hear me go, amen, that means you're going too long. Now you're starting to preach and you're going to a dissertation. All right. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a comment. You're listening in.
If you have a question, come on in with your question. Hit star 6 on your phone and come on in at this time. Amen. Anybody have a, in the audience, have a comment for you or a question? Hallelujah. I thought I heard
yes,
somebody
teacher.
Wanted to say something. That might have been. Yeah. All right.
Teacher?
Teacher Sanchez.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. With all respect to the panel, I believe that the answers that were given based on the questions were good, you know. And what I was hearing was that most of the, you know, most of the comments were given because of the harvest. I have to agree with the fact that, you know, we all go through different phases during our lives, and some good and some bad, but, you know, I heard the word compassion, and that is such a integral part in dealing with the harvest. And, you know, then I heard about the spirit, and it's correct. I think sometimes, you know, there's not enough teaching about the Holy Spirit because, you know, the people have to understand what the Holy Spirit is. So, you know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the Acts of the Apostles, you know, the Holy Spirit dealt with healing, with prophecy, with, you know, expelling demons, with speaking in tongues, you know. It's an integral part, you know, in the fact that, you know, there's got to be a teaching at them. Then we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, all those things that, all the characteristics that we need in order to be a better person one to another is in the fruit of the Spirit. So I just, you know, want to, you know, comment and just, you know, this is a great thing that you guys are doing, and you guys are doing a great job in terms of, you know, answering, you know, the questions that were given. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
God bless you. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Anyone else in the audience?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we can hear you. God bless you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for the platform. I have a quick question. I know with a whole, I know that there's a Bible scripture that says that sometimes, and I was listening to everything you're saying, and this is why I thought about this question. Where it says you have to know by the Spirit and you have to pretty much use discernment and because we know that the devil likes to hide in light. Now, my question is, I saw this preacher, and I guess he went, like, viral, whatever, about this, where he was pouring syrup on top of the Bible, and he was, like, showing examples of how life can be and how we treat people and how we treat the Bible and how we're disobedient and all this stuff, and then, like, I guess his way of defending himself was, well, I'm not going to bring up the stuff that you do, but it was just nasty what I did, but I'm not going to bring up the stuff that you did, and that was, like, his comeback. And he's, like, a younger guy, I would say, but my question is, like, is I kind of see it bad and disrespectful because I see the Bible like a manuscript to life. But I don't know, there's different ideas and topics and people, the way they think. So my question to you guys, do you guys see it bad, disrespectful, or is that like a way of him talking to people in a different language, if I can say?
Okay. Did everybody get a chance to hear her question?
Yes.
Okay. So, do your panel want to come in and respond to that?
Can you rephrase her question? Because I didn't really understand it.
Okay, she was talking about actually the scripture. Go ahead, young lady. Go ahead. Come on in and ask it again.
Pretty much, because there's different ways how people are spreading the gospel, if I can say it that way. And there was this preacher, this pastor. I don't like to talk bad about pastors, but I am pretty observant. And what I saw in one of his sermons, on one of them he was getting a haircut, and then another one he was he did a room like a chapel, like a temple, and he started throwing like eggs and all this kind of stuff. And then when he went towards like the pupil, the thing where they hold the Bible and stuff, the stand, he went over and he poured syrup on top of the Bible.
The pulpit.
The pulpit, yes, thank you. He put syrup on top of it, and he got like a lot of comments about it. And he said, well, I guess the way he defended himself is, you guys do something dirtier than me, but what I did was nasty, and you guys are going to act like you guys follow the rules in the Bible. And, like, I guess that was his way of defending himself. He's like, what I did was just nasty, but what you guys do is probably worse. So whatever, right? So my question is that a proper way to spread the gospel by pouring syrup on the Bible, or is that like a different way to spread the Bible? I mean, to spread the gospel to other people that see it in a different way? Like, do you guys find that respectful, or is that just a different type of way of spreading the gospel, if I can say it like that?
Well, honestly, being honest with you and candid, it brought confusion to you, so I don't think that was an effective way to minister the gospel. You know, that's just my personal opinion. What I will say is that the Bible says that you will know them by the fruit that they bear. You know what I'm saying? And the whole purpose of sharing the gospel is so that you can get an understanding and know God, you know, and to develop your own personal relationship with him by having faith in Christ Jesus. First of all, mm-hmm. you have to have a God encounter through Christ first, and then you begin your journey, you know. And so
yeah.
that's the proper way to do it. Amen.
I want to say this, that everything should be done decently in their order. And God, those that he calls, he's going to qualify. And when he qualifies you, if there is a way that you can give illustrations that it will make sense to the people without defaming or offending someone, I believe that's the way that he would want us to do it today. So, and I myself, I like to give illustrations a lot. And so and I'm trying to be careful that I'm not offending. And it'd be something simple. Sometimes I try to make sure it's simple, that the people can grasp it to show that what Jesus was saying to make it applicable to things. So I hope that helps what I'm saying.
Amen. I agree 100%, Dr. Wilson. I agree 100%, man of God. What has hit the church world is apostasy and mockery, and especially from those that have the influence, the platforms of influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about ratings in this hour. A lot of people want ratings so they get the negative feedback. What that negative feedback does, it gives them ratings. You can see discern people that are prophetic can pick this up in the realm of the spirit. You get a lot of feedback. That's why you see social media when a lot of people do stuff on social media, especially when it comes to leaders that are holding the sacred desk of God. When they're doing things that are trying to reach a crowd or reach a certain people, the Bible says, in so many words, paraphrasing this, the only way that we really can draw people to God if we lift them up. That's what Jesus said. If he be lifted up from the earth, you'll draw all men unto him. I don't care what people try to do to draw somebody, whether they put in a club in the church or whether they prostitute in the church, whatever they're trying to do to reach a people. The only way that they're going to be drawn is by the Spirit of Christ.
And I believe that scripture that you were looking for, woman of God, is in 1 John chapter 4, when it said, I'm reading this from the New King James Version. It said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, that's plural, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They out there for real. And if you and us, I don't care what level of faith that you're on, as a believer, God ain't gonna leave you ignorant. He ain't gonna leave you in the dark. He'll let you know what's out of order, what's out of alignment. He'll let you know what, like the woman of God said, what's done in decency. Because anytime you cook breakfast in the church and throw it over a Bible and something sacred, that's creating mockery and a mess. Because you're trying to prove a point. We all got methods and styles, as the woman of God stated, that God has given us to give illustrations. Jesus gave many illustrations that he taught in parables because he knew what was coming with the people. But what I discern as a man of God, as a servant of God, is what people want feedback on, ratings. Because why? If you can do something that get people attention, people going to start talking about it from a negative vibe. And if they get a negative vibe, that means your name is out there now. A lot of people are trying to do that from that place, whether they're doing it from a negative place or a positive place. They're doing it from that place. And Satan ain't playing. He's transformed himself as an angel of light, and he's using these leaders around the world that many people think that is God, that they don't have no discernment. They ain't discerning. Because anytime you accept stuff that's against the will of God, then you already know that's from the Antichrist spirit. That ain't God. That ain't God. And I believe every believer, they're really discerning. They'll know what's God and what's not. That's just my take on it.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20.
This evangelist, Marshall, and I agree with all of them as well, but what I was thinking as you were talking about the illustration on the Bible and what he did to it, I'm saying from Proverbs 14 and 12 that said there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that first part, it to him, he felt like he was doing right. And I know this kind of might be off of what you all saying, but so many people want to be wrapped up in what they feel the Spirit led them to do, you know. But when you, by you looking at him the way you did and not really fully understanding, it don't take nobody deep in the spirit to look at that and know that's something that you just, he needed, that's just common sense, you know, to know that that wasn't right. But in his eyes, the man, he thought he was right with doing that, you know. So even though we want to know about the spirit world and the depthness of it, we getting so deep till we just don't have common sense. And some stuff is just straight up stupid. And what he did, it was just stupid. So let me go on mute because I don't do too good with my opinion, but that's all I got to say.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, everybody, for pretty much confirming what I was thinking. Thank you so much.
You know that.
Thank you.
You know, you're welcome. You're welcome. Let me say this real quick, because Apostle Simmons, you was right on the same scripture I was reading there, and that's good. And when you read that scripture there, because he was reading it from the New King James Version, I'm going to read it from the King James Version of it, and so people can really understand the revelation behind it. When that scripture talks about try the spirit rather. Now, that word rather actually in the Greek means to be able to distinguish. You got to distinguish what is God and what is not. we can try the spirit rather, or try the spirit to distinguish if it's the word of God. There are many prophets that went out into the world. See, and you got to be able to understand the distinguish of matter so you can know the difference between whether it's the word of God or not the word of God. Now, this pastor has been known for his theatrics, and he has gotten away with a lot of stuff in his theatrics because his audience are really an unbeliever, really are what we call New Age believers. They're New Age believers. New Age believers, they believe that the grace covered them and they just keep doing what they're doing. That's that New Age movement that he's in. And that doesn't last long. It's almost like the same thing we call Tim Pearson. He got a revelation. And like Gwen Marshall mentions, that spirit of many leaders that are on a lot of leaders is just God gave them a revelation. And as a way that seemeth right unto a man. And the end thereof are the ways of death. And it led him into a reprobated state of being a reprobated manner, actually going away of the faith, being drawn away of the faith. And what this man of God has done, he had came up with this New Age movement that's making him look good in the stage and arena, and he's going to pay a major price later on. Right now, his audience are being moved by the theatrics of it and his demonstration. And like Marcia said, and all of us said, to him, that is right. What he's doing is right from his level of maturity and his growth. You can actually understand that he doesn't really have a covering, a leader over him anyway, because anyone who would be a covering over him would have given him some counsel in a better way, even the last couple of times and some of the things he did in it with Clay there. Because you could tell most leaders who are under some kind of counsel of authority, even Carlton Pearson was under counsel, however, because of his arrogancy and to continue to go on in that hiding his lifestyle himself, he just opened up the door and got turned over to the unnatural affection. So that door of unnatural affection was opened unto him. So what I'm saying here is that, thank you, young lady, because these are the questions, and thank God for those who follow me on Facebook and who are connected with me on the Facebook. And I'm breaking a lot of things down as it relates to the Word of God and revelation of the Word of God. That many of these people who are on these platforms are gaining people by making them feel good based upon what they're doing. And for him to do a demonstration, because I do demonstration too, you have to really seek the face of God when you're talking about just doing these types of demonstrations. And especially in his audience, which many are new converts, hurting people, wounded people. And they don't want church business as usual. They want more entertainment as their road to salvation without having to have the responsibility and duty to submit oneself to the Lord and come under the subjection of obeying God and to do what is right in their relationship to God. So it is very imperative. Me, I would have never did that because I recognize and realize the audience and the people which we're dealing with are fragile. And you have to be able to teach the people the word of God so they can understand how important that Bible is to them. Now, he should have stood up a man and pulled serve on a man and said, this is how a man is. Instead of putting on the Bible, because the Bible is the word. And you put, now it's a man that messed up the word. So you blaming the Bible. No, he should have took some servants and one of his father's members, put some serve on there and then wait for me and give me some for the pancake, because I would have ate some pancake later on. That would have been straight. But, you know, he could have took that serve and pour it on and pour it on some people. Because that's the word. The confusion is not that Bible. The confusion is those who are teaching the word and those who are given the words who don't have the knowledge of the word, and they know, they won't come under authority of a man or a woman of God who will teach the word. If you come under the authority, you'll be taught the word of God and how to apply the word of God. You ain't got to pull no syrup on the Bible. I'm trying to make some pancakes in a couple of days and cook up for some folks. We'll get all the syrup we can get. But you see what I'm saying? So you don't do that kind of stuff because it'll cause more confusion.
That's right.
Hi.
Can
you hear me? Am I unmuted?
Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
Okay. Hi, thank you.
My name is
Arlene, and I'm calling from California. To hear what the young lady was saying about him pouring syrup, and if I'm not mistaken, she also said, he said, this is nasty. So why would you put something nasty on the word? To me, that's almost equivalent as burning the Bible, like you don't care. Because if you pour syrup on the Bible and the syrup subject to get in them pages, it's going to start sticking them. It's going to start, the word's going to start fading out. And that's just totally disrespectful. I'm even careful of how I handle a Bible, but to pour syrup on it, nah, that wasn't cool. Sorry. In my sight.
Yeah.
And hearing what she said that.
And you're right.
He knew it himself.
No,
huh?
Go ahead. You're absolutely correct. But as the young lady said, and she's following, she was listening, you give a leader enough time, he going to contradict himself anyway, because what he did, he contradicted himself. Why they in error, let him keep going, because it's going to contradict himself all the time. Look at Carl Jim Pearson, and bless his soul, he's going on in between, whatever you want to call it, in the purgatory thing, but he'll be hot in a minute. You'll understand that in that world, you give people enough time. They're going to contradict themselves. Let them stand there enough. They'll even look back. If he go back in the video, he'll see his own contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to see his own contradiction. So you're right. Absolutely.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But
Prophet, I think now many of the leaders, not judging leaders, you know, I pray for leaders. Because if they're mounting up and carrying the gospel or teaching, preaching, prophesying, a lot of those leaders, again, you said it, they have a lot of followers, whether they, like you said, new age, young people, that really, I would say they're searching for a relationship with the Lord, but at the same time, they like the charisma, the entertainment part. They're drawn by that, and that's, to me, like the trick of the enemy. I believe it takes us back to Timothy, what Timothy talks about over in 2 Timothy, because we're in that time, dangerous time, perilous time, how he said men will have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and how it will creep in and leave silly women lading, and people will move upon their lust. So when they see this man of God in this position, doing what he's doing it from a place of, again, trying to get them ratings on social media, because he already knows going to get backlash from it. A lot of these leaders, they do certain things. I just like another leader, I ain't going to call his name, but if you say certain things across social media and you got many followers, you already know you're going to get backlash from it, but what? That gives them rating because everybody's talking about him. Everybody's talking about her. It gives them ratings. God ain't getting the glory out of it. It's like now his name is putting up. It's like his name being glorified, but I know somebody said, well, it's being glorified from a negative place, but everybody's talking about it. And then he come back on to try to correct try to justify why he did it. So that's why I believe as believers, we have to discern and really be praying so we won't be led captive or led away from really the truth, like the woman of God just said. I mean, who does that?
if the word of God is sacred, then why would you take and do what you've done? But then somebody else would come back and say, well, look what other people are doing from the pulpit. Look what preachers are doing. They're preaching from the Bible, but they're living double lives. The remarks that he'll come back to say, using it from that point, he would just saw what he did, but behind closed doors, nobody saw what the mother preacher done.
Amen. And
right.
To support.
And
to
that's
support
what his,
with,
that was his reasoning for that.
And to support with you are saying, man of God, is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Talks about all of that.
Yeah.
Everything that God has shared.
But what happened is that pride goes before destruction and Holy Spirit before fall. If you notice, since he did that past Sunday, his audience has fell off. It's something about this dispensation that no matter how creative it is, if it's drawing people away from the Lord, there's something in the atmosphere that's causing people to get a grip and fall away from that buffoonery. If you ever notice, even if you look at the church in Dallas, look at that William McDowell Church in Atlanta, when all of these people start doing that stuff, you see that they've fallen off. You see their name is slowly going into I don't want to say delusion. I mean, into delusionment. But their name is slowly falling off the map. Why? Because people are thirsty for the supernatural. They're looking for the deep thing. Right now, people are looking for something deep. Look, he could have pulled syrup on that. Okay, you can go to a movie theater right now and they put you some pancakes. You put syrup on. That's what you could have went in. You got a movie theater and you wouldn't have to have it on the Bible. You can put it on them pancakes. They could have made you some eggs and some sausage and some, you know, because I eat plant-based. It made you a nice meal and you could have watched the movie. In a church setting, because the generation that we're dealing with, these are generation of what you call X-Men, X-Children. Y'all watch the movie X-Men? These generations are brilliant people. These are prophetic people. These are prophets. These are unique people. They know mysteria. They've got dreams they can't even interpret. They ain't trying to go to no church and get some, watch a man pull the word of the Bible. They want somebody to tap into that database in their brain where they had dreams of stuff before it happened. You follow what I'm saying? That's why demons were trying to kill this generation off. They were trying to kill them off from the 2000 to 2005, 6, all the way up now, even the COVID kids. These are going to be the brilliant kids. They're going to be the IG generation because they're going to take artificial intelligence and bring it alive and make the ones who use that artificial intelligence get into an intelligent place because they're brilliant. Excuse me. Because what's being released now is abundance of knowledge of God. The portals are open. So all of this foolishness ain't working with churches. All of that trying to entertain is not working. Even going over to one of my colleagues' churches over in Munster, Indiana, they have a big event. It ain't as big as it used to be. Why? Because people don't, they want the last seven words of Jesus. But tell me, because see, let me say something here. Y'all done pulled it out of me today. Might as well go into the mountains, sit down in my seat here. Like people talk about the end of the time, the kingdom of God, when the end of the world going to come. Some people don't know what end, then we about the end time, when the end going to come. Well, it's really specifically said in the Bible when the end going to come. We just ain't understanding the word of God. It's right in the word of God. I will read it to y'all. It's right in the word of God when the end going to come. You want to know when the end going to come? Because people say, y'all will know when the end going to come. Let me take you over to Matthew 24. Let me show you when the end going to come. Listen to this. It's right in the word of God. Right. I mean, right before our very eyes. People are talking about the end of the world, end of the time. Jesus is coming soon. You know when the end of the world going to come? Okay, let me tell you to the gospel. Follow me, Gwen Marshall, another saint. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to start at verse 7, and I'm going to take you down to verse 14. He said, for nations shall rise up against nations,
kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine, pestilence, earthquake, and divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then they should deliver you up to be afflicted and to kill you. And ye shall be what? Hated of all nations for my name's sake. And they shall, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now here, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Now, here's verse 14. This is what everybody needs to know. And this gospel of the kingdom, he didn't even, we only want the gospel. No, the gospel of what? The kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. See, that is. That is, right there. There you go. See? There you go. Y'all want to read it one more time? In this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So as long as we have counterfeits doing this buffoonery, the gospel ain't in the kingdom, and it ain't going to all the world. When the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come.
Come on.
So what we, what, look at all the people that are preaching. They ain't preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So even with famine and pestilence, that ain't the end. All divers, even in the word of God, it said, it ain't going to be the end yet. We just going to go through. But this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world for what? A witness, not a witness of that foolishness, unto all the nations, then shall the end come. There you go. That's your answer right there. See? Everything you wanted in the Bible, you got to read it. Got to get the revelator to break it down so you can understand it. Then the end shall come. He told you right there, that's going to end. And that ain't me said it. That's the word of God. Everybody got the word of God right in the King James. We ain't talking about that watered down word you read. The King James. That's where it's at. So when it's preached to the inner of, not him being on the stage pouring syrup on the Bible, not Bishop Murphy having a club in the church, that ain't the gospel being preached. That's entertainment being given. When the gospel is preached to all the nation, then what? For a witness unto all the nation, then the end shall come. Why? Because it'll reach every person. You got millions, billions of people preaching, but is it the gospel of the kingdom? That's a whole different thing. That's talking about going, the kingdom is the corona. When they gave you out a virus, I went viral. Why? Because I took the corona, the king, the dome, because that's what the corona is, the crown that covers the neurological system of the gene that holds the atom, releases what? The gene or the neurons in the brain to bring them to the cells of the body, to take them to the molecules, molecular system, and open up the pineal. So you can get the full mystery and a witness of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Well, we ain't trying to take you outside. We're trying to take you internal. Everybody wants you to deal with external. You got to deal with internal. If you ever want eternal power, you got to deal with your own conflict internal. Then you get some eternal power because you need that presence of God. But everybody being entertained, that ain't doing nothing. Them people don't know how to fight a demon. They need that. They don't know how to deal with suicide, homicidal thoughts, stress and pressure, brokenness, being hurt and wounded, coming out of bad relationships, dealing with abortion, smoking weed, trying to figure out how the beautiful. You got to be able to reach the people. And then half of these foolish people in the church, they're so concerned about one person. They ain't looking at the person that can help everybody else. They got agendas for the person. When they get past their agenda,
they'll surrender. If they have their agenda. You get out of that agenda you got.
Come on.
Did you see how they touch that person? You won't even touch them because you got dirty hands and a dirty mind.
Come on. Come on.
Let me behave tonight. I got to behave. Let me behave. I want to
understand.
You know, you need to get your feelings hurt. Because you got to understand the word of God.
That's right.
If you clean up your own house to get Ahab and Jezebel and behave, you'll be all right. You can do the kingdom. Jason can't get Jason at each other when they had the movie. Both Jason met each other. They took off running. So Jason knew they couldn't get Jason out of each other. You got to be able to understand the word of God. So that's what the kingdom of God is. All right, anyone else? Y'all can come in too. I was trying to behave tonight.
That's good, Prophet. Okay. We meet. Man of God, we
anyone
meet that,
else
man.
Have a question for us? Everybody's talking about the inner time, inner time. Well, he told you right here. It's right in the word. It's Matthew 24, 2044, right in the 24th book, chapter. Right here. Everything you need right here. From 1800 to 2000, 17 B.C., he coming. We're at the end of the world. We're at the end of that. Then they went on to be with the Lord. There's the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. Preached. Shall be preached in what, all the world for a what? A witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. That's real simple to me. Everybody can go ahead and start preaching that now to the people.
It's me again. I'm sorry. Hello? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Come on in.
You said, I just lost my train of thought. Well, pretty much, I kind of wanted to, I don't know if this is true or not. This is all like the new stuff that's coming up, so I'm questioning it for a reason why, I mean, for a reason, right? They also have this whole theory, I don't know, this thing about Christian nationalism. So I even like looked it up kind of thing, but I don't know if it's a title that we should be taking or is that a title that I know we just have to believe in Jesus and he's the way, the truth, and the life. But right now this country is putting a title on it, and I don't know if that's what we should be accepting or should we be like, no, I'm not that, or like, I don't know if you guys know anything about that. I'm pretty sure, but I'm just, should it be something we should be taking?
Yes.
Go ahead.
But tell me what they said, what you read. Tell me when you looked it up, what did they say about this? What did they say about the Christian nationalism? Because
pretty much
you got to understand, evangelical.
Sorry, my dog. She heard me and now she's barking. Okay, so what is a nationalism?
Right.
Pretty much the same. Christian nationalism is a type of religious nationalism that is affiliated with Christianity and primarily focuses on the internal politics of society. Such as legislate civil and criminal laws that reflect their view of Christianity and the role of religious, political, and social life. So pretty much, like, I guess everything that they're pretty much trying to bring out,
well,
how Christianity focuses on politics, society, civil, criminal laws. So I don't know, because now they're saying that the Christians are under attack. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, see, let me share this with you. See, the world, what the evangelicals are doing is the evangelicals are setting in motion their agenda. Okay. So when they set in motion their agenda, they're setting in motion their agenda concerning the
laws or the political laws as it relates to Donald Trump against Joe Biden. So Joe Biden's side have a lot of immoral stuff. They said Donald Trump has all the righteous stuff, which it doesn't. What he does, if you study evangelical churches, you can Google this too, 80% of evangelical pastors deal with pornography. Now, isn't that interesting? It shocked you. It shocked the whole world. But they hide behind moral principles. Look what happened to Jimmy Swaggart twice, Jimmy Baker twice, Jerry Falwell twice. So I'm not trying to throw a stone over there, but let's just call a spade from the evangelical movement. And so what they said on the other side is that everybody else, other cultures, we support homosexual, we support gay rights, we support immorality, we support all of the bad things. And that's the further thing from the truth. If you go back to the Gideon Bible and read it, they learned from us, the Moors. They learned everything from us. And God is a God side and the other side. And I'm breaking it down like this because can't nobody refute it anyway. So when they get to talking about the movement, they have to understand, they have to get beyond that religious mindset of the culture background of colonialism. When they get past the colonialism mindset, then they have to now address the blood that's on their hand, not the mouth from a pulpit. You got to deal with the blood on your hand, my brother. And before you can talk from the pulpit and talk about a new movement that you try to create to establish your own rhetoric. I want to get Matthew started because Matthew's going to go up and tell you all that. And then you have to go inside and deal with the political genre. Really, they try to bring back together their chaos. But now, I thought their boy was Vice President Pence. Now they got an eye with Pence. You know what I'm saying? He was their boy 4 years ago. Now he is on the... He's on the red carpet, but he's one of the most spiritual men in there. He was one of the most spiritual men in the term. But see, you see how they play the game? I want everybody to hear this. Y'all see how they playing the game again? This is all a game. And the game is, okay, let's push. I'm against homosexual. I'm against abortion. I'm against lying. I'm against immorality. But don't put laws in place that want to catapult your movement when you ain't going to be fair anyway. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to come with it, come with everything. Don't send us a representative. Don't give us a representative. We can represent our own.
Right.
See, and now, if we want to go deeper, half of them won't even talk about the Pope, but I'm sure they can talk about everybody else. Do any of y'all hear the evangelical talk about anything about the Pope, John Paul, the Pope, Benedict, and Rome? No. But they can tell you about the black preachers in the community. And he's the one most diabolical than everybody. He over there in Vatican City, he's in total chaos over there. All them hundred cardinals over there don't know what to do. And then he excommunicated one of the cardinals. And then the black cardinal that's over in Africa, all of them backing him right now. And then he can't even get, God forgive me for saying it like this, he can't even walk right now. He's falling down. They got to carry him around because he's at the end of the roller coaster. So what I'm talking about, this religious nationalism, the fingerprint to draw you into a web for another movement that ain't gonna move but a few people in their agenda. Now, do I like what they're saying? Yeah, I like what they're saying. But I ain't slow to read the underlying tone. There's a whole underlying tone in there. Now, over here on the blue side, Do I like what the blue side is doing? They got some points. But I ain't going to play the role of lesser or too evil because that's what they want to play. No, you got to, if the kingdom of God, the gospel going to preach in the kingdom of God, we in this world, but we not even of the world. And you know why? When it comes to being equal, then let's sit down and let's be equal together. You ain't going to do that. Nah, you ain't going to do that. We don't want to do that. Nah, because you can't be equal to us because we've been trained that from the cave mentality. So if we're going to teach the gospel of the kingdom, then we got to teach the kingdom right. If we're going to teach the cross, which is Constantine writing based upon King James, it was the cross with the symbol of the cross roll, because they made a roll to Rome every time they defeated a country. It was the cross roll, so they made a roll to Rome. So that's where you get the word cross, cross roll. Everybody, if you stretch your hand out and stand up, you got to go right or left. That's a cross. You got to make the cross roll. You got to make a choice at the cross roll. So to add the rugged to it, that was the road, the cross roll, that led to Roman. That's all I'm just trying to say. Just give it a little historical move to the wind. Save yourself from this generation. Because we're in a time where all of these movements are moving people from their emotions. Because if you do the math, some of it ain't even in a math book, some of it ain't even on Google, you got to pick it up in the spirit world, of what's going on as it relates to this dispensation and time. The people have to, the church world or the kingdom must come together. And it's just not going to be evangelical. It's not just going to be Baptist, Pentecostal, AME, BME, Kojic, Apostolic. It's the kingdom have to come together because we have to build this dome so we can all come together. It ain't going to be one-sided. It won't be a one-sided thing. Hope I'm making sense to the people. But thank you. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you. We're bringing out all the brains tonight. Thank you. Hallelujah. You got some awesome points, young lady. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you answering all the questions.
Anybody else? Yeah. That's okay, because all the rest of them scared. They're a bunch of evangelicals anyway. I'm going to come on.